Blog Talk Radio.
Very good. Thank you, British Lady, and welcome to Pop Culture Stars. It is the dreaded 420-22. A lot of things go to hell on 420, and so far it looks like today everybody's been playing nice. 420, of course, is a bunch of things. Columbine, Hitler's birthday. There's the weed connotation to it, but nevertheless, we are here on 420, and we're not having any meltdowns at the 901 point, so that's a good thing. So, I am your host with the most, Dave Atwell, coming to you, and we hope everybody is doing fantastic out there on this 420, 22, as I go through the janky back door here at Atwell Manor and go out to the chilly North Carolina evening to light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars. I am going to pass it around to my most esteemed and wonderful and cherished panel. And I'm going to start off with that wonderful young lady in the fine state of Arkansas, Granny Hulkster. How are you doing this evening, ma'am?
Well, I'm doing well. Sorry I had to miss last week. I was actually in Kansas visiting my mom for a few days, helping her with some things, you know, so I had to miss out on last week, but glad to be back and looking for towards a great show.
Yeah, you know, if you're in Kansas and you weren't home, that means you had to have your ruby slippers on and clacking them together.
Yeah, clicking three times, you know. There's no place like home, you know. But, when I left Kansas, I didn't leave anything there. I didn't lose anything there when I moved to Arkansas. So, you know, it's just, you know, my home is Arkansas now. So, you know, like there's no place like home. It'd be coming back here to Arkansas. So.
Right. Yeah, because Kansas, you know, I've been there a couple times, and for all that's there, there's stuff that really isn't there either. So,
well, it's very. I mean, depending. I mean, for the most part, most of Kansas is pretty flat. I mean, just saying. I mean, the further out west you get, then you kind of start seeing more mountains and wheat fields and things like that. I mean, you know, because I lived in a little farming community for 17 years called St. Francis, Kansas, and we were like the last town. We were 35 miles west of Goodland. We were 10 miles from the Colorado line, 13 miles from the Nebraska line. You know, so we were like a 4-hour drive from Denver. So once you got out there, you were as far west as you could go before you hit Colorado and Nebraska. So, and I lived there for like 17 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's, you know, you talk about everything being flat and all that kind of jazz. It's, yeah, I mean, when they say it's flat out there, it's flat. I mean, it's,
yeah,
it is flat. There's no joke about it. And, yeah, it's just one of those odd, speaking of Nebraska, you ever watch the T-Mobile commercial and they put up the map with all the pink dots that peaked that up?
Mm-hmm.
Next time you see that commercial, take a close look at that map, and there's a big black spot in the middle of the United States in the shape of Nebraska. So
yep.
I don't know if Nebraska and T-Noble don't see eye to eye on something, but like there's no coverage in Nebraska.
I don't know.
For T-Noble.
But, you know, I got a funny story to share about St. Francis when we get Mr. Tim on, you know, with us that I'd like to share with you guys tonight. It's kind of funny, so, but I want to share it with everybody else, you know, and all the listeners tonight. It's kind of a comical story, so.
Outstanding. Well, it's great to have you aboard this evening, ma'am, as always. So as you alluded to, I'm going to smack it back towards the east there and rattle the cage of my good brother, Tim. What's going on, man?
Well, my 420 has been brutal thus far. I decided to torture myself and go on a 6-mile run because I've really slacked off in my training for the mini marathon, which is coming up in, I don't know, I think 2 or 3 weeks. It hurt. And then I realized that I had to do some yard work after that. So that was all done on an empty stomach, so not the smartest move for me. So I'm recovering from that. I'm sitting here relaxing, finally, going through some emails and looking forward to a good show. You know, think about Kansas. How close are you to Wichita, Granny?
Well, when I lived in Leavenworth, we were about an hour from Wichita, give or take. A little over an hour from Wichita, hour from Lawrence. Topeka is in that area. Now, like I said, when I lived out in western Kansas, out in St. Francis, we were about a 9-hour drive from Leavenworth. So, I mean, we were clear across the state of Kansas. So it was like a 9-hour drive. So probably 9 or 10 hours going to Wichita from St. Francis. But that's where you had the little the smaller towns like Goodland, Dodge City, Hayes, Colby, you know, Garden City, Hutchinson, Kansas. I mean, you know, like the further west you got, you know, Coffeyville, Kansas, you know, the further west you go, you know, there was even a little town out there called Bird City, Kansas. And there was a little town called Wheeler that it consisted of a big grain building and a general store combination post office, and that was the extent of Wheeler. I mean, if you blinked, you would miss it. If you didn't know that it was there, you would miss it. That's how small Wheeler was.
Gotcha. Rob is in the queue, by the way. So I was just curious if you were that close to Wichita, because I was gonna.
When I lived in Leavenworth, when I moved back to Leavenworth in 1979, we were about a little over an hour from Wichita. So.
All right. Well, I want you to go potentially beat somebody up over in Wichita. I got a.
Oh, do you
random,
now?
a random text. I was sitting on my couch and my phone dings. I looked down, and I got a text from a phone number from someone in Wichita, Kansas, and all it was a half-naked girl, a picture of a half-naked girl, and that's all it was. And I just started laughing out loud, and I looked over at my wife, and I was like, look what I just got texted. And she was like, who is it from? And I said, I don't know. I said, it said it's from Wichita, Kansas, and it was a girl who was wearing skimpy clothes, and it was like a selfie. But I don't think it was real. I think it was part of a scam. You know, I didn't text it back. I just blocked it right away. And, you know, that was that. But anyway, so that
what
was my story about
Wichita.
Kansas.
What are they doing up there?
What? Yeah, really. All right. But anyway, looking forward to a good show. Now we got Sterling.
That tip looks at it the same way I do. What would a hot chick want to do with me? This has got to be a scam. And it'd be the one time Selma Hayek was actually trying to get up with me, and I would never believe it, you know?
Oh, my God. Especially she's doing that dance like she was in Dusk Till Dawn. Lord, I'm right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to move if that was the case. So... make a formal introduction to my good brother Stro down the road here in wonderful North Carolina. So is it a little chilly on your end like it is over here in the woods, bro?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this weather's nuts. Like, warm one day or 1 minute rather than cold the next.
It's crazy. Well, it's definitely good to have you aboard this evening. Appreciate you joining us. And, you know, you had a very good idea. Me and you was on the same wavelength because when you come through talking about, you know, the recent debacle with Disney, I was looking at the Netflix issue that happened over the last 24 or 48 hours. And that would be tonight's topic, how the entertainment industry here in the last year and a half, 2 years, has kind of shot itself in the foot, and how now things are kind of coming around full circle in the, you know, entertainment industry through their constant agenda pushes, woke mentalities, and, of course, the almighty dollar that's out there floating around. So just to kind of crack the egg, if you will, this evening, you know, Stroh had mentioned Disney. I was checking in. There's a, I don't know if you guys are aware, Disney came out with a new Disney Star Cruiser. And it's supposed to, okay, you know where I'm heading with this. It's supposed to be a two-day total immersion event thing. And the price tag for 2 days is $6,000. No joke.
Wow.
Party of four is $6,000. So when they first opened the thing up, they let a bunch of YouTube influencers in there. And basically, behind the scenes, Disney told these influencers, if you like the free stuff, you have to say this. You can't say that, and if you do, then you're going to get cut off and you'll never get free shit from us again. So when the Star Cruiser first hit, you had a lot of these influencers on YouTube going, oh, man, this is a cat's ass. You know, I've never done so much fun in my life. You know, this is, man, this is better than Master Party. And now what's happening is that they've been up and running for a month and a half. And you're getting John Q. Public, like myself, in there. And they don't owe Disney anything. They paid the $6,000. They went there. And now they're coming back with the real stink about the Star Cruiser thing. So, you know, the news on it was littered all over the place when it first came out. And it's because of all the influencers trying to get their views in, you know, for all the news. And then everything simmered down and nobody talked about it. Now things are starting to, you go on YouTube and look, you see in the last week a lot of new updated stuff. So one of the sins that Disney, we all know what a debacle the last three Star Wars flicks have been and how unpopular and polarizing they've been. Well, on this Galactic Star Cruiser, they based the whole thing around the characters in those three films. So, you know, I understand that they have to, they want to work off of the stuff that they created versus the stuff that George Lucas created. But on the flip side, when it doesn't hit a lick with your public, with the paying public, why would you do this? Well, why would you base it around unpopular characters? So,
didn't the captain have like an incredible likeness to Kathleen Kennedy?
Yeah, yeah, an incredible likeness, and also, to the game Mass Effect, if you've ever played Mass Effect, there's a character exactly like that in that game. It's almost as if the people who put it together just kind of took bits from this and took bits from that and just kind of, you know, kind of like those old magazine letter ransom notes you used to see, and they took from different franchises like Halo and Mass Effect and Star Trek and everything else. And kind of copy and pasted this thing. So one guy got on YouTube and was doing an honest review about it. He said, first off, when you go in there and they show the rooms, he said, if you're over 5'10", you're going to be hanging off the bed. He said the beds are so small that if you're anything over 5'10", 6 feet tall, you're not going to get any sleep because you're going to be dangling off of an edge of the bed. I don't know if you saw the toilets in there. The toilets were square. They're just real strange stuff. So anyhow, this one guy gets in there. He paid the $6,000. Yeah. And even Chewbacca, you know, it's like they barely had him in the whole thying. Who doesn't like Chewbacca for crying out loud? So he said he walked into a room, right? And he said there was a sheet of paper, a couple sheets of paper laying on the table, face down. So he picked them up and flipped them over and looked. And they were columns. There was five columns of five. So 25 squares in the grid. And they had a little X in the middle one. And then they had symbols all up and down. And he said, damn, but this doesn't look like a bingo board. Okay, well, one of the things that they did for $6,000 in his 45-hour excursion was play bingo. How would you like to shell out $6,000 for a day and a half of entertainment, and part of it is playing bingo? It's just, it is absolutely mind-numbing how they went through and they made all this stuff. They built this thing specifically for this, and nobody in that damn building had the wherewithal to stop and say, you know what, guys, this sucks. You know? So what they're saying now, what they're claiming now, is that they knew that it sucked, but it was getting pushed so hard from Kathleen Kennedy with her agenda that this is how it all turned out. This was all her, what I want and how we're going to do it, guys, because I'm the lady in charge. And so now they've got this thing, and they're projecting the fact that it won't even make it through the year now. I mean, it's just crazy. And Disney stock dropped like 30% this week. And, you know, they're in there trying to muscle the governor of Florida and everything else. It's a damn mess. And I don't think the entertainment industry understands, the same way with the sports industry, I don't think they understand that the reason why we watch sports and entertainment is an escape. You know what I mean? It's an escape from our jobs. It's an escape from all the bad happening in the world. And, you know, they seem to have lost that concept. And I don't know. They're paying the price now. Get them right in the pocket. That's how to get everybody. We learned that on Trading Places, right, Stro?
Oh, yeah. Commodity.
Best way to hurt a rich man is to take away his money. So. So
well, that's what I love. That's what I love about my independent wrestling shows that I go to, is it's my escape from reality. It's my escape from dealing with all the BS and all the bullcrap that people, you know, like the situation that I'm dealing with my son right now, you know, trying to help my son, getting him the help that he needs. That's an escape for us to be able to go for 2 or 3 hours and have a good time, and for me to holler at the bad guys and cheer the good guys, and you know, and I think this is a perfect opportunity to bring this up. I bet you guys thought that everything was really comical, what you all posted in the group chat the last week or so, you know, after I got back from WrestleMania. I saw all the posts, you know, and all, and Stro, you know, Joe, you're one of my best friends and your family, brother, and I love you dearly, but I am not Granny Wolfpack, okay? Just throwing that out there, you know. But you know, but I know you guys had to have something to laugh about, you know, and everything, and pick on Granny Day, and that's okay, you know. I mean, they say that you only pick on people that you love, so.
Those dicks made my day.
Truth.
Well, I just thought it, and I got to tell you, my son, I showed Anthony all those posts that you guys did, and you ought to heard him laugh. Oh my God, I thought he was going to bust a gut laughing, guys. I mean, he's like, "Oh, that's so funny, Bob," you know, and I'm like, "Well, whatever." I said, "They had to just, you know." They had to pick on Granny, you know, and that's okay, you know, that's okay. I still love you guys, so, you know, I don't hold grudges, you know, I still love you guys.
I just want to ask you this, right? Why is that picture of you with the NWO stuff on your site?
Because somebody photoshopped that. I mean, that was actually, that picture was actually my original one of me with the red and yellow background. And my friend that made that background for me, he decided to be funny and put the black feathery boa and the crown and, you know, yeah, he's very knowledgeable with stuff like that, and he actually did that as a joke. He did that as a joke, so, you know. But it was the same guy that made my red and yellow kind of, you know, background that I have on my profile, you know, my profile picture on Facebook. It's actually the same guy that decided to be funny and, you know, really teased me, really roughed me up about that.
He did a really good job with it.
Well, yeah, he did. But, I mean, but Granny and Velvet, if you're out there listening, dear, no, Granny did not go heel at WrestleMania. Just saying, okay? I did not go heel at WrestleMania, so... I saw Velvet's comment. Did Granny go heel at WrestleMania? No, I did not.
Granny, I fully support that. I know that you did not go heel at WrestleMania because you were already a heel.
No, I'm not a heel, dear. I am not a heel, Tim. I am not a heel. But no, really, seriously, you know, Stro, you weren't on with us the night that I did the WrestleMania report. It was a lot. We had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun at WrestleCon, and it was just a really, I really enjoyed. I mean, Anthony got his picture taken with Eddie Edwards, and he was getting ready to leave, and Eddie Edwards did a selfie with my son, which was so cool. And Austin Aries took a picture with Anthony and didn't even charge me anything for the picture, which I thought was really cool of him to do that. But Eddie Edwards just was getting ready to leave, and he took a selfie with my son, and, you know, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, Austin Aries was just on the In the Room podcast not too long ago, I guess.
But, and the Godfather, he loved my Granny Hulkster shirt. I go walking in the big room where, you know, everybody was at, and he says, "Granny Hulkster, I like that." You know? I mean, and the wrestlers, the professional wrestlers that know me personally, they were really happy to see me. They said, "Granny Donovan, how you doing?" You know, but the ones that I had never met before was very, they loved my shirt. I mean, Brooke Hogan, actually, she says, "I'm going to have to tell my dad about you." She says, "I love your shirt." And she was really super nice.
Did the Godfather teach you how to do the Godfather dance like he does?
No, he didn't. He didn't.
Okay.
But you know what I found? You know what I found out? He later took a picture of Granny, and I didn't even know it. He took a picture of me in my Granny shirt, and I didn't even know it. But the people from Fight TV, they did an interview with Granny, which I was very humbled and very honored to be able to do that interview for them.
Cool.
Cut a promo
That's
on him,
cool.
Granny?
Oh, I didn't really cut a promo, but, you know, I could have, but I didn't. I didn't, you know, but They were just asking me questions, and I just answered them. But it was a really cool little interview. So,
does anybody else hear the sound like somebody running a motorcycle idle? Anybody else hear that?
Yes,
yeah,
I'm hearing that noise too, and I didn't know what that was.
Yeah, it sounds sounds crunchy.
Crunchy.
If there's a word I can use, yeah. I don't know. It sounds like there's a little bit of feedback or, I don't know, disruption of some type. It doesn't sound like background noise. It sounds more electronic. That's what it does than anything else. It's white noise.
Maybe just be chewing gum in class. That's the thing.
Yeah.
Maybe Blog Talk is having technical issues.
It's because
yeah,
I was making some of the song in the green room.
Okay.
Looking for Tree Fitty. You know what that Loch Ness monster said to me? He said, give me 3 foot.
3 feet?
Damn it, woman, you let me tell the stories around here. I can't wait for a South Park slap episode. We were talking about it at work. Where, like,
oh,
Butters
God.
Slaps the hell out of Cartman or something like that. It's, they've got to. They've got to do it, man. They just got to, you know, so. But, yeah, you know, Granny, and you bring a great point to the discussion is, you know, those wrestlers were keeping it real. And they know what, I don't want to put it, they are dumb. They're in the ring, and they look around, and they see who's in the seats. And, you know, and they know that the people in those seats, those are the ones that they're actually trying to please, not themselves. It's not about what they want. It's about the people that are paying to see them. And, you know, that's the reason why they've been able to maintain, especially the independents, because they haven't forgotten that. Unlike a lot of other industries, you know, like professional sports and entertainment and everything, where they just, hey, I have a thing I want to say, and everything I do is going to say that. You know, and it's, you know, take for instance like the political thing. You know, I still see people with Trump 2020 flags in their yard. But then I see people with houses where the whole damn house is covered in the thing. And I'm going, okay, guys, you know, I get it. You know, you don't have to wallpaper the whole damn house in it to get the point across, you know. But that's
yep,
the problem.
I saw somebody.
In the street right now.
See my Chris,
here you go. Now, Tim, you had a pretty good point going on in Netflix there in the green room when you were speaking on, you know, what you watch and what you don't watch. And to kind of give a little preface to the Netflix thing, and then, Tim, I'm going to bounce it over to you so you can add in on this. Netflix, their stock went from $350 a share to like $217 a share today, over the last 2 days. The CEO is blaming it on password sharing. So in other words, I paid for a Netflix account, and they had over 200,000 drop subscriptions this week. 200,000, and you multiply that by 20 bucks, you know, it adds up. I don't feel like doing the math or anything, but it's, I don't think it has absolutely anything to do with the subscriptions being shared. Because I wouldn't cancel a subscription if I was sharing the password.
Yeah, And I will chime in because the other thing. Yeah, it's like because we got Netflix, and it's not so much happened anymore, but back when we had more kids in the house, you know, you got the Netflix account, and then you can have, like, I don't know, I think we had maybe 2 TVs or maybe up to 3 TVs could use it. So what would happen is, I hope you guys can hear me, because all I hear is, like, that motorcycle sound or static sound or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean, I can barely hear you guys when you talk.
For you guys,
anyway.
No, I'm not using a headset. I'm just using my phone, so.
I'm not either.
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear. Oh.
Now I don't hear it.
Yeah, I know. It stopped for a little bit. Is that it?
Oh, wow. Look at the superpowers, man. Wow.
Nice.
Okay,
that's
well,
amazing.
Speaking of superpowers,
we went off of that. Damn it, I say that everybody on the show tonight wins the Powerball.
The heavens open
that. Yeah. I am just the...
So, what I was telling Dave in the green room is that I watched, because I can't speak on so much of the series and things that are out, you know, the Netflix original series and all those, because what I do is I use the filters, so I, when I set up my account, I basically told her what kind of movies I wanted to watch. So really all I see is a bunch of midget porn, which is perfect. No, I'm kidding. So, but with that being said, you know, it's pretty much just I've already got it set. They're older movies usually. Like I'm not watching anything really recent. But I'm trying to remember. Oh, yeah, Superpower. I just watched a movie. I don't know if it's really worth checking out. I mean, it was entertaining, but it's not like – I'm not going to give it, like, you know, 4 stars or whatever. I think it was called Freaks, One of Us. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I just watched that last night on Netflix. I do watch Netflix a lot, but then back to that password sharing thing. So, you know, we had a crap ton of kids in the house, and we had Netflix. Everyone was all excited at first. And we were limited to 3 TVs that could be utilizing it, or 3 devices, I should say. So, you know, if you got a kid up in a bed somewhere watching crap on their phone, Netflix on their phone, and then you got, you know, another one watching on TV in their room, and you know, long story short is everyone's, you know, watching it, and then I go in, like, my office or something, and I go try to, you know, click on it, I'll get a damn message pops up that says too many devices are in use right now. I'm like, give me a freaking break. So I'd have to go kick one of the kids off so I could watch what I wanted to. I can't imagine that anything, unless they put, maybe I could see this, and I don't have any idea if this is just a wild guess, but if maybe what's really going on with the password thing is maybe they put some kind of a security, like a lock, you know, they fix the glitch, so to speak, so that it's harder for that to happen. I don't know. There's multiple ways they could technically, you know, do something to make it harder to share passwords. So unless they just implemented something like that, then yeah, maybe I could see it, but who knows? And just sounded like a rooster crow. I don't know if anyone else caught that. That was pretty cool.
a little scratch there. That was not my rooster. My rooster hasn't come near here. Unfortunately, we had to distribute a little bit of pellet action in his range the other morning, and he hasn't paid my property a visit in the past couple of days. So, you know, sometimes you just got to put a BB in the ground around his feet to get the ball across. So it worked. But,
well, see, you know, Anthony, you know, he, talking about Netflix, you know, he used to have AT&T UVerse for his cable. Well, he, you know, had his cable and his internet and his phone through AT&T all combined into one bill. Well, it was costing him over $300 and some odd a month. So he got rid of the AT&T UVerse and he just does the, on his PlayStation 4, he does the streaming. He does the Netflix and Hulu and he's got Peacock, you know, so you can watch WWE Network when he wants, you know. But he did away with the cable, and that cut his bill down just for his phone and his internet. I mean, because the Hulu subscription and the Netflix, they're not that much, you know, individually, you know. So he's saving quite a bit of money, but, you know, being on a fixed income like he is, it's still hard for him because, you know, he's still paying, you know, for his phone and his internet, he's paying almost $170 a month, you know, just for those two things, you know, and then just the small subscriptions. But he, I mean, he watches Netflix, but he watches a lot of the movies, you know, and, I mean, he doesn't so much watch the TV series. He likes to watch the movies that come out on Netflix from time to time, so.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to say this about the sharing the password thing. You know, it kind of goes hand in hand with the piracy thing in music and whatnot. And I ran into something. As a matter of fact, I had looked for pirated copies of my book, all three of them online. And bigger than anything, my books, if you want to dig deep enough, you can find them for free on the internet. And, you know, I recall when we had, you know, was it Napster and Kazaa and LimeWire and all those, you know, the old file sharing thing that would, you know, it would give your laptop herpes, but you can get all the movies and music you wanted to and download them and burn them onto CDs and shit. I recall Metallica, the group, leading the charge on this whole, well, you know, it's bull because you're listening to our music and yak, 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 and you're listening for free and we're not getting paid for it. I'll be honest with you, and maybe it's because I'm small potatoes, but if somebody is reading my book for free and they become a fan of my books, eventually they're going to buy something. You know, sooner or later, if my stuff is good enough and it resonates with the people who read it, sooner or later they will buy something. They will buy another book. They'll buy a particular edition of the book. Or maybe they'll buy a shirt if I ever make merchandise. So, you know, when it comes down to the file sharing, and quickly going back to the music, I recall when I was doing the stuff, I would make full CDs because you used to be able to cram anywhere between 16 and 20 songs on a blank CD. And I would take particularly groups. And I know this is, you know, and everybody out there right now is going, a pirate and son of a bitch. Let me tell you something. I've got so many CDs and cassettes and 8-tracks and vinyl in boxes around here that I don't listen to now. I've already paid for this shit. So if I download it, it's not the end of the world. But, like, take, for instance, Ozzy. I download an entire 90-minute CD of nothing but my favorite Ozzy songs. So I go pick Rob up from daycare, and by the time he was 4, he was sitting in the damn car seat in the back singing Bark of the Moon word for word. And still to this day, he's 23-year-old now, he still listens to Ozzy. Okay, and, you know, he was born after Ozzy's heyday was over with. Yeah. So, I mean, to a certain extent, when it comes down to the file sharing and all that, or not the file sharing, but password sharing, if I am sharing, let's say Stro doesn't have a Netflix account, and I say, hey, here's my password, here's my username and password, watch whatever you want to watch, okay? There may come a point where you watch so much on there that you finally say, hey, man, by the way, I got my own password. I got my own Netflix thing. I watched so much on it. I just went ahead and got my own, but I appreciate you lending me yours. So it created a sale for them. And as per 200 drop subscribers, if I was out there sharing my password with other people, you wouldn't lose my subscription. And by me sharing my password, you aren't losing subscriptions for that. You understand what I'm saying? You're not moving forward with a sale on it, but you're not moving backward with a cancellation. So, again, Netflix has really got to watch. And Lord knows, you know, without getting into the rabbit hole of politics on it, when you turn on Netflix, it is grossly steeped in politics or agenda-based politics. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. When, you know, there are particular movies that if they're going to be a success, they have to be kept real. And when I say that, I don't mean that in urban slang. I mean, it's got to be realistic. So in other words, what you can't do is have a movie about Vikings. And you've got a bunch of Asian folks on here. Last time I checked, there were no Asian Vikings. Yeah, and I'm not saying that to be disparaging. It's simply stating fact. When we watched The Last Samurai, okay, everybody was like, well, Tom Cruise on a samurai flick? Well, he wasn't playing a Japanese person. He was playing an American person who went to Japan and adopted their culture. So it made it digestible from a storytelling standpoint. But you're watching The Last Samurai, and it was about feudal Japan samurai culture. So you didn't see Native American folks in it. You didn't see black folks in it. You didn't see a bunch of white folks in it. You didn't see Hispanic folks in it. Why? Because there wasn't any in feudal Japan during the samurai culture. So, you know, if Netflix was to make that movie, they would have to have, you know, okay, we got to have an interracial couple, check. We got to have a deaf guy, check. We've got to have a gay guy, check. We've got to have a lesbian, check. We've got to have a Muslim, check. And when you're watching it, it's about samurai culture, and you've got all these different types of people on there. It doesn't fly. And it's not because...
You never heard of Soul Shoguns?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be the Beverly Hills Ninja or something like that. Yeah, it's. But, I mean, that's my point. And it's just the same. If you were to watch a Tyler Perry flick, you're not expecting a bunch of white folks or Asian folks or Native American folks or whatever to show up on that because it is a black culture-based film. And that's fine. Everybody gets theirs, but what you can't do is in every film or in every series you make, try to address every damn demographic. It just takes away.
I wonder if Shogun would. I wonder if Shogun could pass for a Soul Shogun. Shonuff from The Last Dragon. Yeah, from The Last Dragon. He'd make a pretty good Shogun.
Yeah. I mean, imagine you're watching a gangster flick. And when I say a gangster flick, like a Robert De Niro gangster flick, what do you expect to see? You expect to see a bunch of Italian guys. And
Baza.
Yeah. And you'll probably see some Jewish guys mixed in there. Why? Because that was exactly how it was.
Because they're the ones that make the movie. Make the movie.
So you try to, salt three or four Asian guys in there. No, the Asian guys weren't in the Italian mob. They were in
Who would you have in, say, like a movie about the NWO? Who would be in that?
Mm. Yeah, because Granny Holtz would star in that.
There, no, yeah. I would not. No, I would not. You don't would even not, go there, guys. Do not even go there. I would not be part of the NWO. Thank you very much.
She'll be accepting their Oscar.
No, I would not.
Who would play Granny Hulkster in that series?
I wouldn't even be in that movie, so nobody would be playing me because I wouldn't even be in there.
Janet Reno.
I would be.
Nice.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to go with Scarlett Johansson.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Granny wouldn't be in that kind of movie, so, you know, let's not go there, guys. Not going to happen, okay? Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
But, yeah, Netflix is kind
you
of
and Jimi Hendrix
song.
No, I don't even like that Jimi Hendrix song, though. I don't even like that at all, so.
You know what?
Shame on you.
About
you don't
that,
like there's a Jimi Hendrix song you don't like? You can't ever say that.
Well,
Hendrix,
I do not like Voodoo Child because I'm not a you know, NWO fan, so you know. My son likes to tease me with that. He'll play it, and Stro will play it every once in a while when I call into Stro's show. He'll play it every once in a while, too, because he's done
right
it to me
home.
Before.
Yeah,
yeah I know.
Right
you're just trying to make me feel, like, fit right in there, aren't you, Stro? So it's a good thing
Granny,
I don't hold grudges
right
against
you
guys.
It's
a good thing I do not hold grudges against you guys. You know, I still consider you guys my friends, okay? Just saying, you know, just throwing that out there.
That was one of Jimi Hendrix's greatest tunes, too. And I remember when Hogan came out to it. And, you know, you guys know I'm not a Hogan guy at all. I'm not a big Hogan guy. It just doesn't turn my crank. It's just one of them things. And I remember I'm watching WCW, and I start hearing that guitar riff. And I says, is that Voodoo Child? Because Voodoo Child is a vicious-ass damn tune, man. I mean, that song is...
Mm-hmm.
If that song doesn't wake your ass up, then you just are totally in left field. You know, the song is awesome. And a lot of people have tried to do it again. Stevie Ray Vaughan tried to do it. I'm not particular about it.
I was just going
to
say that. Stevie Ray Vaughan, he's able to do it. He can pull it off.
I mean, nobody did it like Jimmy. And so I hear this, and I'm like, oh, shit, they're playing Jimmy. And, you know, I'm thinking about Wesley Snipes, White Men Can't Jump. You can't hear Jimmy. I can hear Jimmy. No, you can't hear Jimmy. So I'm like, God, who's coming out for Jimmy? And bigger shit, here comes Hulk Hogan. And I'm going, you have got to be kidding me. So this prick is going to be using one of the greatest rock songs ever made. And it got to a point, and I hear you, Granny, it got to a point there after a while. You turn on Nitro, and you hear, bam, 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 bam. I'm like, God, Jesus Christ, somebody make it stop. And oddly enough, talking about burning CDs, I had a Jimi Hendrix CD. And the first song I put on that CD was Voodoo Child. Why? Because it's a great freaking tune. And after Hogan got hold of it, I was like, okay, let's go to track number two. Don't want to hear it.
It's like CM Punk calls a personality.
Back to Stevie Ray Vaughan. I need to clarify because I agree with you. Nobody can play it like Jimmy, but I would support, even though he is deceased, Stevie Ray Vaughan. I'm in full support of him playing Voodoo Child. Now, with about anybody else,
he's amazing.
Like, in my opinion, it takes balls to, you know, try to cover something that a great person like that did, because if you can't do it, then you're just making an ass of yourself. And I'll say Stevie Ray, he pulled it off. It's good tune. I'll listen to it. I love Stevie Ray. He is my second favorite guitar player of all time. Number one fits to Jimi Hendrix. So I totally agree with you.
Absolutely.
Yes. Skid Row did a cover of Little Wing on their third album. That was pretty damn good. And Little Wing is another one. If you understood the the story behind the lyrics and everything. It's one of those songs you don't want to listen to when you're feeling a little down and had too much to drink. But they pulled it off pretty good. But, yeah, when it comes down to Hendrix, man, I mean, his stuff was the reason why it's kind of hard to explain. It wasn't that he was trained good. It wasn't that he learned good. It's the fact that he taught himself, and when he taught himself, he played left-handed and actually taught himself with the guitar upside down. He didn't even realize he was holding the guitar upside down when he taught himself how to play. And that's why now it is so hard, even with today's technology, to mimic the licks that man had. I mean, and what a robbery. Losing him at 27, I mean, damn.
Yeah.
Wait, there's so much left on the table, dude. So much left.
God, the way he would play was so uncanny.
Oh, yeah.
That was unbelievable.
Yeah. I used to have a couple of, I still have them somewhere. I don't know if they had gotten damaged or not, but I had some VHS tapes when I was really into Jimi Hendrix in like my early 20s. And I think it might have been... I'm not sure if it was Monterey Pop or where it was, but anyway, they had interviewed, I think it was Pete Townsend from The Who, and basically they were both like, Jimi Hendrix and Pete Townsend were like, I'm not following him. Neither one of them wanted to follow the other act. And so they basically flipped the coin for it. And so The Who went first, so they basically won. And with that, Jimi Hendrix got all worked up. He jumped up onto a table and he said, if I'm following you, I'm pulling out all the damn stops. And I'm pretty sure that was the show, like The Who, they go out there in their finale, they like kick over their drums, do all that crap. And Jimi Hendrix goes out there. I got a video of it. I just can't remember if it was at Monterey Pop or what. But at the very end, he, and I don't know if it was Voodoo Child. Man, I haven't seen that video in so long. But he basically like... puts his guitar down and sets it on fire, and the crowd is just like, what the F is
just
going on here?
Yeah, dude. That's good stuff.
It was awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Years ago, Dale got me for Christmas a graphic novel, and it was, God, I wish I had it here. I could tell you who wrote it, who illustrated it. But it was his biography converted into graphic novel form. And for those of y'all who don't know what a graphic novel is, it's like a fat comic book. And it had a not one of a kind, but you can only get the CD of uncut, unreleased stuff. And it was sewn into the back of the graphic novel. Now, I've never had the balls to take it out of here and listen to it. I just try to keep the thing pristine. But it goes deep into Jimmy's childhood, you know, how he lost his mother and all these kind of things. And
then is it the same book that usually puts the song next to it? Like it, when it showed the part about his mom, said something like, some castles made of sand go off to the sea eventually or something like that. I feel like I know what you're talking about. Like I've seen it before. I remember reading it when I was in college, and it was basically about his life, and it was in picture. Like you said, it was like looking at a comic book. And then it would have, you know, at like key moments, you would see like basically song lyrics above the picture, and kind of like that's what told you what that song was about.
Did it have a purple-blue cover?
Man, I really can't remember. It wasn't mine. It was my buddy's. We both had apartments across the hall from one another. He lived in this. It was a really awesome. They were so tiny. It was like basically somebody took a house and converted it into a bunch a little bit. There were so weird, odd rooms. But he had this penthouse. It was the penthouse of the place because it was like a loft. So it had windows on all three sides. And, you know, I thought it was awesome, and I hung out there, like, every day of my first year of college. And so he was like, dude, there's an apartment open across the hall. Why don't you just get it? And I'm like, all right. So I did. Second year rocked. We, you know, hung out all the time. But anyway, it was his. So there and I have a backstory, a little bit of my college life when I was 18. But so yeah, that thing was his, and I don't remember if he had a CD that went along to it or what. But yeah, I remember sitting around one night and kind of looking through that. I can't remember if it had a purple cover or not, but it sounds like it's got to be the same thing.
It does, because the thing was haunting, and you didn't realize all the stuff, you know, how he broke his leg in Army training and all the stuff that he went through.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people like to say, ah, well, you know, he was a junkie, this, that, and the other. No, well, yeah, he did more dope than what he should have. That's a given. But if it wasn't for the dope, I don't think we would have ever had the genius. And I, speaking from experience,
right,
when I write, the more shit-faced I am when I write, the better my stuff is. I'd be first to admit it. I know my mom doesn't like to hear me say that, but when I'm hammered and I'm writing, it's freaking Shakespeare. When I'm sober, it's bland. I admit the hell out of it. And even my brother, when he does my editing, he could come back and say, you don't even remember writing these chapters, do you? And I was like, no, not really. He goes, they're brilliant. But at the end of that Hendrix thing, man, when they were covering his overdose, I mean, it got you. It was a gut punch, because they had an angel come down, and the angel represented his mom and said, it's time to go. And Jimmy said, I'm not ready yet. I still have a lot to do. And you know, the angel said, it doesn't matter now. It's time for you to come with me. And it put a different twist on his overdose. You know what I mean? If you're a Hendrix fan, it's haunting as hell, man, to read that thing, dude. And it just, I had a little bit of seasonal allergies at the end of that one, man. I got a little misty-eyed reading it because
I do remember it being kind of on the downside. It was a little sad, so I do remember that.
But that guy was brilliant. Incredible stuff. So, you know, going back to the Hogan connection, damn it, Hulk Hogan, why couldn't you just go pick like a LaToya Jackson song? Somebody I didn't like already. You know,
why
couldn't you get a Celine Dion song or something? Oh, man. Tim, I got a special mission for you. Are you willing to accept? I have to run into the woods for a station break. There's a station break out here in the woods waiting on me. So I need you to take over the show for a couple seconds while the station break is being put into effect. If not, I will probably be hospitalized with kidney failure. So, Tim, just talk, dude.
All
right. I got to go. I'll be
got it.
This is why we don't do this on Zoom.
So while he's been on the Netflix kick, and, you know, I know there was some other stuff being talked about, but I was thinking of my own. It kind of relates, but maybe not so much. But, and I think we may have already kind of hit on it a while back, but it's just, and I'm only going to pick on one show, so not necessarily the Fox Network. I don't know what everybody's opinion is of Fox. I have no idea. I don't know if there are opinions to be had of Fox. But the show Family Guy, man, what the hell happened to it? It absolutely sucks. And I actually looked it up, because everybody's commented it's not the same. It really isn't. It's like it almost got like more of a straight, like they try to have a plot to it, and there's no like little side jokes or anything. It's just there's like an actual how do I want to describe it? Not like protagonist, antagonist, but like, you know, a plot with a climax and everything. It's like it follows a storyline, and you just it's not I mean, I know it kind of used to, but it was still really just silly. You know, it was just silliness, and it was hysterical because they threw everything at you and were as offensive as they possibly could be, with, you know, in the limits of getting away with it. And it's just not like that anymore. And I actually Googled it, and apparently a lot of the writers have left. And so even according to what I read, and I have no idea, I don't remember the source. I have no idea if this is valid or not. I know a lot of, you know, things out there, obviously false, but, you know, I think they were saying, that, Christ, what's it, what's the guy's name? Seth, it's Seth MacFarlane, right? So he's the one who is basically the main writer, and I think even he is not writing for the show anymore. Like, he's just basically kind of gone, no, I've had enough fun with that, I'm done. And so he's still doing, you know, like, different shows. He's got, I'm not sure, he's got a couple other shows out there on Fox, though. And so I think he's just kind of more into those right now. So a combination of that, not having the same writers, and it seemed like there was a third main reason, but they have totally changed the style of it. I don't know where the drop-off is. The earlier stuff of Family Guy is absolutely hysterical. And I don't know how long it's been like this, but I'm serious, man. I plopped down on the couch. Probably it's not been that long ago. It's been within the last couple months. Plopped down on the couch, and I was looking at we had recently gotten Hulu Live, and so I'm like, oh, okay, we'll do the channels this way. And I found Family Guy, popped it on, and was going to sit down and watch, you know, a few episodes of Family Guy. And it was just like I realized after about 10 minutes I hadn't laughed one time. And I was like, wait a minute, what the hell's going on here? What is this garbage?
Yeah, you're right.
And they were like, you know, they it was just this, I can't remember what they were doing, like driving on a country road, and then they had to go to this cabin or something. There was like this huge plot to it. And I'm just kind of going, what the hell? What's going on here? Where's all the little side things going on, but the entire style and everything is just garbage. So I'm curious.
Well,
I'm thinking it's probably just a matter of time before it's canceled. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, everything runs out of gas eventually. You know what I mean? Everything you do, you know, you think about, you know, take for instance like MASH. You know, MASH ran for all those years. And there towards the end of MASH, you know, you almost couldn't get through the episodes. And then they made After MASH, which was just as bad, if not worse. And sometimes you've just got to pinch it off if you can't reinvent it. And, you know, if you look at, like, Price is Right, the reason why Price is Right has run as long as it has is because it has the ability to update the games, update the prizes, update the gameplay, but yet keeping it the same. You know, they've found a way to keep it exciting. And take, for instance, like my book series. You know, the first two books are based around the characters in a fictional town called Watts Landing. And the third book addresses it's still connected to what happened in Watts Landing, but the third book was about Jack the Ripper. And what was cool for me as a writer is it gave me a break from it didn't allow me as a writer to get stale. So when I wrote the Jack the Ripper book, though it was still part of the Hunger series and it was still attached to what happened in Watts Landing, when I came back to write the fourth book, I had a fresh kind of kind of like come back off vacation type of feeling. You know what I mean? Where I was getting back into it. I wasn't repeating myself. So I wrote, you know, the fourth book. I still haven't published it yet, which is part of the reason why I'm going to XCon is to kind of reignite the flame and get the lightning in my ass again. Because the fifth book is halfway done. And what I had planned on doing is going to a certain distance in the fifth book, and then in the sixth book, wrapping up the Watts Landing storyline. And then moving on to Rasputin, like I had planned, there was going to be connective tissue there. And then that would lead into a World War One. I don't know if it'd be a whole book or a short story or what, but it would connect with the Jack the Ripper and the Rasputin and the Watts Landing crowd. I've already got it all planned out. Believe it or not, folks, it can be done. And from there, after the World War One, it would move into World War Two, and where Hitler is trying to use the hunger curse as a weapon. So, you know, as I'm going and I'm planning all this out, and I jot down notes when ideas come to my head, I'm still sitting here on the fence thinking, do I need to squish the sixth book into the fifth book with the Watts Landing crowd? Because I don't want to, you can't chew the same piece of gum, but for so long, no matter how good it is. You know, Fruit Stripe loses its flavor pretty quick, but there are other gums out there that seem to hold their flavor. But if you nap on that sucker long enough, it just tastes like nothing, right? And it's the same way with a story. And, you know, sometimes, and with Family Guy, where they, where I feel they lost their touch, is they started caring. You know, the guy who voiced Cleveland was a white gentleman, so he said, well, you know, I'm playing a black character, I'm not doing it anymore. It's the wrong thing to do. Cleveland was one of the best characters on the whole damn show. I don't give a damn what nobody says. The Cleveland Show, if you ever get a chance to get the box set of the Cleveland Show was hilarious. And, of course, they got rid of Bruce. Bruce was one of my favorite characters with the, oh, no.
And then the Star Wars movie, Wane.
Yes. I was watching the Rocky thing where Lois was in boxing, and he's a ref, and he's going, one, two. I mean, it was funnier than hell. Bruce was awesome. But they pulled Bruce out of it because they thought it was disparaging towards gay folks. And I'm like, no, it's not disparaging. He's great. Leave him in there. And I think what happened is that Family Guy started being careful. And, again, falling into the woke politics. And to be honest with you, I am starting to really come around to the point where I feel like only about 2 to 3% of the population is actually woke. The other 97% are people like us that just get up in the morning and say good morning to all of our workmates, whether they be green, purple, paisley, you know, gay, straight, getting it on with a toaster, whatever. You know, if you're good people, then I don't give a damn what you do. If you're good people, if you pull your load at work, if you hold doors open for little old ladies, if you keep your yard looking right, you raise your kids correctly, pay your taxes, blah, 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 blah. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're gay. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're Mexican. I don't give a damn if you're, you know, walk on your hands all day. And for me, that's what real people do. That's what real Americans do. We recognize each other as Americans, and we don't sit there and count beans, you know, and say, okay, well, all right, so we're going to have this meeting here. Oh, we don't have an Asian guy. Can somebody go get an Asian guy real quick? Nobody, people, we don't do that. Real people don't do that. But I think that the entertainment industry, in their little bubble, in their little fantasy world, think that's the way things go. And it doesn't. And it turns off people like us who enjoy cracking on one another, who enjoys, you know, a good joke. And if you can't laugh at yourself, you're lost. I don't give a shit what nobody says. If you can't laugh at yourself, you are totally gone. The biggest freedom you will ever find in your life is the ability to look at yourself and laugh your ass off. When you can
best,
do that,
best jokes I ever heard were my own spin.
I look in the mirror and I laugh all the time.
Right. And it's free. You know what I mean? I mean, all right, let me go ahead and roast Stroh for a minute. Since Stroh got in there. Look, Stroh. Now, me and Stroh are shacking up in a hotel room, right? And, of course, Stroh got the flowing locks going on. You have never seen so many goddamn hair supplies in your life. This guy has every conditioner imaginable, right? Whole damn table's covered in conditioners, right? And I look at it, and I says,
Lord, that's some time,
how you keep your hair? And didn't I say something to you about, isn't this how you keep your hair nice or something like that, being a wise ass? And you know what Stroh did? He laughed his ass off. Okay, now here's a professional wrestler in a hotel room with me, an author. We could have tore that damn hotel room apart, beating the shit out of one another. But you know what he did? He laughed. And that is where people are missing out on it, man. You know, today when I was running at work, they got that little sprinkler system over top of the greens and everything over there at work. Well, every time I lean in to run something, that damn sprinkler comes on, right? And there was a lady ring, you know, she was reaching in. When it cut off, she pulled back real fast to get out of the spray. And I shook my head and I says, you know what? Every time I lean in this thing, that sprayer comes on. I said, that water's cold. It messes my hair up. And you know me, I'm shaving my head. And I say it so matter of fact, she just looks at me like, does this guy realize he doesn't have any hair on his head? So, you know, it was, and she busted out laughing. So here it was, I made this lady's day better by cracking a hair joke on myself. And, you know, I have a hard time. If a gay guy has a hard time with Bruce, I have a hard time with that gay guy. How's that? Because if Bruce is so awesome. When I look at Homer Simpson, Homer Simpson's me. Okay? Bald guy, little heavy set, can't get his shit straight, and he walks into the break room and sees the donuts and goes, donuts. That's me. So when Homer's on there, I'm laughing my ass off. He doesn't offend me. I think he's funnier than hell. So, you know, when it comes down to the woke stuff, when you start pushing that narrative, it turns regular people off. And you know who the regular people are, boys and girls? The regular people are the ones who pay in $20 a month for these Netflix subscriptions. Do you think Taylor Swift has a Netflix subscription? Hell no. Do you think LeBron James has a – do you think Brad Pitt has a Netflix? Hell no, he don't. We are the ones who have the Netflix subscriptions. You dig what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. You know – get the politics out of it. Get that damn woke narrative out of it. And go back to making things as they should be. If it's a movie about black culture, have black folks in it. If it's a movie about Asian culture, have yellow folks in it. If it's a movie about damn Native America, have red folks in it. You know, knock off this stuff with this whole... oh, well, we got to have this guy in there. We got to have this guy in there. Hell no. Because it's not going to pass. It's not going to flow. So,
have an NWO movie, have Granny Hoekstra.
There you go.
Told you.
Granny
Hoekstra.
Not going to
happen, guys. Not going to happen.
Granny Hoekstra and Will Smith are NWO.
Oh, no. No.
Where she
slams
the piss out of Will Smith.
Nope.
I just had to throw the Will Smith thing in there.
Oh, yeah,
sure
I know you did. I know you did.
No, I'm turning beep, 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 heel.
Funny thing with the Will Smith thing, me and Rob, I don't know if you guys do any gaming at all, but here about 2 weeks ago, this new Star Wars Lego came out, right? I will be 52 years old coming up here, and I have no shame at all with the amount of damn time I have played that game with Rob. And truth be told, when Rob was a, you know, 5-6 year old kid, me and him would sit there and play video games together. And then when he started getting older, we drifted apart on that dynamic. You know, for a thousand reasons. You know, he wanted to do his own thing, and, you know, he gets too cool to have his dad around, and me, I'm working too much, blah, blah, blah. But this Lego Star Wars comes out, and now here he is, 23 years old. I'll go get a case of beer, and me and him will sit here, drink beer, and play that Star Wars game and have the best time. It's like him being six all over again for me. As a dad, it's like having him as a kid again. You know what I mean? It's great. So we were playing the Revenge of the Sith part of the game, right? And y'all remember when they land on Mustafar and Obi-Wan has slipped into Padme's ship when she's pregnant, and she comes out and Anakin goes batshit and chokes her out and all that kind of stuff. Well, they're doing that whole bit on the game, and Obi-Wan says something about Padme, and it pisses Anakin off, right? Well, when he says it, you know, like I said, I've been a few drinks down, and I hit the, keep my wife's name out your effing mouth. Well, I thought Bob was going to fall out of the damn chair. And, I mean, we've been getting so many miles on that. No matter what we do, Dale will holler one of the dog's names, and I'll hit the, keep my dog's name out your effing mouth. And, I mean, the amount of mileage we have gotten out of that is just unholy. Just good stuff, man. So, again, taking a negative and turning it into a positive. Real easy to do, boys and girls. Nothing to it.
Did I tell you guys? Did I tell you what happened the following? I'm sure that I probably did, but it's funny enough that I'll repeat it. So I didn't know anything about the Oscars. I didn't know they were on. You know, whatever. I woke up, you know, for work the next morning, like five o'clock, whatever. Kim was already up, and she's just like casually says, Will Smith hit Chris Rock at the Oscars last night. It's all over the internet. And I was like, what? And so she shows me the video. I started laughing out loud immediately. I go to work and I said, I'm going to pull this line out. Like, it's going to be one of the first things I do on this Monday morning. And I swear to you, Todd, because what happened, I can't remember. Kim must have had a test or something. Or I can't, but maybe I surprised her. I don't remember, but for whatever reason, Todd had messaged me. He usually messages me like he's already messaged me before I even get to work. The dude gets up and works at like 4 o'clock in the morning. So
yeah, that's Todd.
He actually, the first message I get says, hey, how did Kim like blah, blah, blah? I talked to him and I said, Kate, what's name? Actual effing mouth. I started laughing so loud. I was there in the office, and I started laughing so loud. And then I was like, shit, I don't know if Todd, like, even knows what happened. So I better, like, clear this up real quick. Because otherwise he's going to be like, what the hell, dude? I just had that the weekend. Yeah, it was great. I was able to take advantage of it right out the gate.
Yes, absolutely. And it's funny. I'm sorry. And if you get offended by that, then obviously you've got to do a lot of digging into your own soul. And I'll be quite honest with you guys. I have enough misery in my life to not have to worry about what's going on at Will Smith's house. I mean, does that sound right? I have enough. I mean, what was it, our show, when I had to abruptly cut it off because I had water streaming out of my damn shower head?
Yeah.
I mean, and in the ensuing days, I had the dryer bite to dust. I had my father-in-law in ICU. I had a light socket in my son's room catch fire. Misty, our Mastiff, was limping around mysteriously the other night. We couldn't figure out what the hell was wrong with her. And you know, all this crap was going on. So, yeah, there was plenty of misery here at the Atwill residence. I don't give a damn what these celebrities are going through.
Right.
I really don't. So if you get worked up about the, if you have the energy, or if you have the room in your thoughts and your soul to get upset over something that a person you've never laid eyes on does, you really need to roll back up, take a long look in that mirror, and then check yourself. You know what I mean?
I think what really started, what really kind of got to me, I mean, it didn't like piss me off or anything, but I just thought it was stupid, was, you know, right away, they just kept like coming up with more video or more captions or more Twitter comments from different celebrities. And it's like, okay, so not only do I not give a shit about, you know, their lives and if they work this out, because in the day, they're still going to wake up in their mansions, you know, take a crap in
right.
their gold shitters, the same as, you
yeah.
know, they always do. Nothing's going to be affected. But I really, really don't care about other celebrities and their opinions. Like, what, are you some kind of a know-it-all, you know, with
yeah.
your doctorate in behavior of, you know, actors and how they should be? Like, are you the king of etiquette just because you're another celebrity? I don't give a crap. You take a dump just like everybody else and it smells, you know. I don't care what everyone was saying about it. It was so
yeah.
stupid how many times they would post different celebrity reactions.
And they're going to counsel us on how to raise our families. But yet you see them with a picture of their kids, and their kids are standing there with their boxer shorts on their head and everything, and you're going, and this guy's telling me how to raise my children?
Yeah.
And as I've said plenty of times on this broadcast, you know, these are people that don't even mow their own yards. How many times, guys, how many times have you gone and pulled the damn mower out of the shed and go to mow the damn yard because it's going to rain for the next 6 days straight, and you pick up the gas tank, and there's no gas in the tank. And you go, son of a bitch, now I got to run to the Speedway,
yep.
and I got to get gas.
Yep.
It happens. Don't get me wrong. It sounds small, but it happens to all of us, and it's a massive inconvenience because you're already dressed in your dungarees. You look like Joe Shit the Rag Man because you're going to be working in the yard. Now you got to change. Now you got to drive to the damn gas station. You're in traffic. Yak, yak, yak. You know, it's an extra hour tacked on to your damn yard work.
Damn, I don't even change. I just go to the store looking like a hobo.
You just go in there, yeah, like Jim Shit Drag Man. I've done that before. But, you know, that'll be, of course, my superstition is the minute I do that, that's when I'll be in a head-on wreck. And they'll roll me in the ER, and I'll be dressed all in my dungarees, and the doc will look at me because he must not be insured. Just let him croak. So, you know, I always try to wear a tux if I'm going somewhere so that way somebody thinks I'm actually ahead of the game on shit. But do you honestly think that Brad Pitt mows his yard? Hell no, he don't. Do you think LeBron James mows his yard? Hell no. You think Tom Brady mows his yard? No. Hell no. So don't come at me and tell me how to run my life when you don't even mow your... Jesus H. Christ. Y'all hear that? Wow. Wow. Somebody
well, I'll tell you
absolutely.
one time at David's work, they had a guy from like Ozark Guidance Center come out and talk to all the guys in the shop, you know, about etiquette, you know, about work etiquette, like, you know, like for example, you know, you have a guy talking to somebody in their work pod area, and they're, you know, trying to say, okay, I'm going to try to Jew him down, you know, try to get the guy to go down in price. And then you have somebody that's sitting in the next pod over that happens to be Jewish. You know, that guy's going to take offense to what, you know, that employee said. Well, the guys that my husband works with in the shop, they're as redneck as they come. And David made the comment about, you're talking to a bunch of rednecks here, and within like 30 minutes, that guy totally just lost everybody in the whole, you know, like, because they are. They're a bunch of rednecks. You know, I mean, the guys that he works with, they're a typical bunch of guys that are just rednecks. And, you know, he's trying to tell them, well, you know, you got to say the right thing, or you can't say this, or you can't say that, you know, and everything. And David was like, he told one of his buddies, he said, he might as well just give up this class or this thing that he's trying to do with us all, because we're not going to, you know, it doesn't affect us. We're not going to listen, because that's just the way, you know, that's the way they work. And they, you know, they tease, they pick on each other, they tease each other, you know. I mean, they keep the work area safe. Don't get me wrong. I mean, they don't horse around or nothing like that. But, you know, you're trying to tell that to a bunch of rednecks. They're not going to listen to that.
I mean, a bunch of guys who have one another's back. And I can guarantee you that if a Jewish guy had a flat tire, every one of those rednecks would help the Jewish guy out.
Yep.
You know, just because it's the right thing to do. Not because,
right,
you know, you pull over and you go to damn change the guy's tire and he finds out his last name is Schwartz, you know, and then you go, oh, shit, you're Jewish, I can't help you. No. Real people don't do that. Real people don't do that. And, you know, so you got a guy in there explaining to a bunch of guys like your husband that's got a heart of gold, give the shirt off his back to anybody, and he's in there trying to explain how to talk to people. You know what I mean? And those are the people that need to really do the soul searching, not the folks that just go in there and roll their sleeves up and get along. And, you know, laugh together, roast together. If you're not, and that used to be a rule with me in management that they used to tell people all the time, because I used to nickname people all the time. I'd give people random nicknames. And one new guy kind of got bent out of shape because I would, and it wasn't anything disparaging. I can't even remember what it was. Junior is one of my favorite. If I call you Junior, that is a term of endearment of mine. If I call you Junior, that means it's an honorific. That means you remind me of somebody important to me, and that's why I call you Junior. Okay?
So,
well, you talk about nicknames. My husband has worked for the road department since 1972, and when he started there in 1972, he had really kind of not blondish hair, but it was kind of a light blondish brown, you know. His nickname is Cotton.
There you go.
And I forget because all those guys that he works with, they don't know him. And, well, they do know him. His name's David, because his name is David is on his work shirt. But if I say the name David, I have to remember they know him as Cotton, you know, and that, because that's what they all call him at work. They all call him Cotton, and that's his nickname at work is Cotton.
And, you know, he doesn't get upset over that.
No.
He rolls with it. And, you know, this one young man that, you know, got a little agitated with me giving him a nickname, all the guys over there at work said, hey, look, if Dave's giving you a nickname, you're cool. Because it's when Dave doesn't give you a nickname, it's when Dave doesn't rib you or roast you from time to time. It's when he doesn't talk to you is when you know that
then
he doesn't
have
any
worried. Then you got to be worried if, you know.
Right.
That's why I tell people, you know, like, you guys tease me, you guys rib me, you know, about the heel thing, you know, NWO thing, you know. If you guys didn't pick on me, I think there was something really wrong with all of you. I think that you really hated me because
exactly.
You only pick on the people that you love, you know, that you care about, you know. And so that's why I don't get offended. It's kind of like my gimmick name, Granny Hulkster. I asked my good friend Tim Rockwell, I mean, because I've known Tim for years watching him wrestle before I started going to Wrestling for a Cause, before we started helping with Wrestling for a Cause, before he started Wrestling for a Cause. And I asked him one time, I said, Tim, I said, do you even know what my real name is? And he says, no. He says, all I've ever known you by is Granny. So I had to tell him what my name was, because a lot of my wrestling family, and I'm not related to any of them at all. It's kind of like the other night when I was up at my mom's last week. I help with a podcast on Monday nights called Attitude Era Live. And one of my good friends, Brandon Buck, was a last-minute guest on the show because somebody couldn't make it, so Icon had to get somebody else to fill in for that first 30 minutes or whatever, you know. And I listened to the interview, and, you know, Icon said, well, you know, you mentioned Arkansas. He says, do you know Granny Hulkster? He says, oh, my God, yes. He says, Granny and I have been, like, family for, like, 14 years, you know. He said, I remember the first time I met Granny at a wrestling show in Oklahoma. She came up and introduced herself to me, you know. And he said, you know, for somebody that has never been to a wrestling show, Granny is the perfect person to have because she'll get the crowd hyped up. She'll get the crowd going. They feed off her energy. The wrestlers feed off the energy from the crowd, and that just makes it a much better show.
Yep.
I mean, he was so complimentary of me. I had to message him. I said, I listened to the interview. I said, great job. I said, I'm just sorry I couldn't, you know, I had to miss it. But, you know, because my husband and I, we went to his and Abby's wedding, you know, when they got married, we went to their wedding, you know, and we spent the night up there after, you know, after the reception and stuff. We had a hotel room, and we spent the night in Pittsburgh, Kansas, and then we came home back to Arkansas the next day. But, you know, but Brandon is like, and it was funny because they were doing a wrestling show like in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. It was for a benefit show. It was like October. So it was like to help the American Heart Association or something. They were doing a benefit show, you know, for the Heart Association. And his mother-in-law was there with his wife, Abby, and he brought this up on the show. He says, my mother-in-law told me after the show that night, he says, I think that Granny Hulkster was the loudest person in the crowd because
right.
I get so excited. I mean, I love, and it's like the heels, the bad guys, they like expect me. I mean, if they didn't give me grief and I didn't give it back to them, they'd be running over, feeling my forehead, saying, Granny, what's wrong with you? Are you sick? How come you're not giving it, you know, how come you're not talking back to us, you know? Because they expect it. They expect me to do that. and they know that I'm going to do that. You know, they'll tell me to come, you know, they'll tell me, oh, you crazy old woman, sit down and shut up before you break a hip, or don't, you know, get back to the nursing home. You need to go back to the nursing home. It's past your curfew. It's past your bedtime, you know. And I just tell them, I'll say, well, little boy, if you think you're mad enough to make me sit down and shut up, why don't you go ahead and try? You know, and they love that. I mean, that
right.
Because they expect that of me. It's like my friend, Mr. Saturday Night Michael Berry. I love it when he's the heel because he was at a Wrestling for a Cause show not too long ago, and he comes over and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I said, well, what are you doing here? I said, where have you been hiding at? You know, I said, you finally decided to come out of hiding. You're not scared to come out and face somebody in the ring, or, you know, tonight. And he takes his finger and he pokes me in my nose. And he says, I just love it when you get angry.
But if you weren't out there doing that, it would throw those wrestlers off of their game. You are part of the mix. And when you talk about people feeding off your energy, Granny, look around you, and they're all walks of life. It's not just a bunch of white women from Arkansas, right? It's everybody. And that's how the real world works.
Well, it's kids, it's men, it's women, it's kids. I mean, because the wrestlers, they all call me Granny, their spouses call me Granny, their kids call me Granny. And one day I was talking to somebody, and somebody said my real name, and I guess I wasn't paying attention, you know, and they finally said Granny, and I turned around and said, what? You know, because I'm so used to everybody just calling me Granny, you know. And that's what I love about the wrestling business, because I've had promoters come up and thank me for, we were at a show over in Jay, Oklahoma. Now, Jay, Oklahoma is not very big. I mean, it's very small. And maybe there was probably not even 50 people at this wrestling show one day, you know, because they had a lot going on. So it was summertime. People were doing other things, you know, so they didn't have a great big turnout. Well, I heard one of the wrestlers saying back, well, Granny's in the house. It's going to be a good show. And there was maybe 40 people at the show that day, you know. I mean, it was in a small building, you know, it wasn't very big. But I love doing what I do. You know, because, they'll get in my face, and I'll get right back in their face, and we just go back and forth, and then everybody will get the Granny chant going, and, you know, Granny, Granny, you know, and I love that. I mean, I try to make it fun for people, you know, try to make it fun, especially if it's their first time and they've never been to a wrestling show. I mean, I'll tell them, I'll say, well, is this your first time here? And they'll say, yeah. And I'll say, okay, just watch me. I'll show you who to boo for, who to cheer for, you know. And they love it. I mean, people love that. And the kids love it. I mean, we were at a show in Kansas City. It was the weekend before my birthday, because we went to a wrestling show at the baseball park up there at the T-Bones baseball park, because Hacksaw Jim Duggan was there, Tommy Dreamer was there, I mean, you know, a lot of independent guys were there, and I was going to have my knee surgery on my birthday that following Monday, so we went to Kansas City for the wrestling show before I had to have knee surgery. And the one girl, her name's Lucy Mendez, well, she's always the bad girl, you know, she's always, you know, and she threw a bottle of water at me, you know, and it hit me in my stomach. Well, I mean, it didn't hurt, but I had to make it look good. I'm like, ooh, you know, like, and this little boy comes running up to me. He says, Granny. He didn't even really know who I was, but he heard people call me Granny. He's like, Granny, that mean old lady didn't hurt you, did? And she's younger than I am, you know. He said, that mean lady didn't hurt you, did she? And I said, no, honey. I said, I'm fine. So I was talking to Lucy after the show that night, Granny, she says, I really didn't hurt you, did I? I said, no. I said, I just had to make it look good for the show, you know, but.
But, you know, that's what made it magical, you know, and that's what the entertainment industry has totally forgotten, is what makes things work. So, the gang, we are deep in the extra innings. Don't even realize. It's amazing how we can get on this show, and sometimes prior to the show, we have absolutely nothing, no idea what we're going to talk about, and then we run for 2 hours. You know what I mean? So it just goes to show the cohesiveness and the excellence that we have here at Pop Culture Stars, and not to mention we're global now because I know you guys don't run the boards like I do, and you can see the numbers, but our listenership in the United States has actually dropped down to 89%, and when you hear drop down, it really hasn't gone down. It's Canada, France, and believe it or not, Ireland are the top, are the top countries listening behind Pop Culture Stars and, of course, Stroh's show and the other shows that, you know, was it Wrestling 123 show? Yeah, Stroh, you can help me out on that, all Dr. John's stable, if you will. So, yeah, I mean, here we are going global, and whoever that
well,
is.
Well, it's funny you, mentioned Ireland, Dave. It's funny you mentioned Ireland. When we went to WrestleMania and we were we went to Control Your Narrative, it was Adam Scherer and EC3 show Thursday after or Thursday night when we got into town there down in Texas. We went pretty much straight from the hotel to the show. I met these two guys at the show after the show was over, and they were from Ireland. And, of course, I didn't even have my granny shirt on with me because we hadn't even unpacked stuff from the hotel. We pretty much got checked in the hotel and then drove over to where the venue was, you know, for the show that night. Well, the next day I saw the two same guys from Ireland, and, of course, I had my granny shirt. Well, they wanted their picture with me Thursday night, and then they wanted their picture with me again when I had my granny shirt on. But they were from, both from Ireland, and they were there for WrestleMania, and they came running up to me because I was, you know, hollering at the wrestlers, you know, hollering. And that one was kind of a different type of show because you really didn't know who the heels were, who the baby faces were. You know, it was kind of like you just basically cheered or booed who you wanted to cheer for or who you wanted to boo, you know, kind of thing. It was pretty cool, though, the way they did it. I really liked it. But they come running over to me and they say, we absolutely love you. We thought you were amazing. You're our hero. So maybe those two guys from Ireland, maybe they listen to Pop Culture Stars. I don't know. You know?
Strong possibility, because I'm telling you, it's when you make an impact like that, I mean, it's you know, it's something else. And we do a great job here. And, yeah. Getting out there, and it's pretty cool to know that other people are listening to what we got to say. Hopefully they agree. So with all that being said, I am going to pass it around the room so we can close the book on another fantastic episode. And as usual, I always start off with the busiest guy, our good brother Stroh. Talk to me, young man. What kind of stuff you got going on? You busy man?
Oh, goodness. Never ends. Okay. Well, tomorrow night's WCW Retro is going to be preempted to next week, next Thursday. And next Thursday, we'll be back and talking about our favorite wrestling dances over the years. So get your favorite wrestling dances lined up for next week. Should be a lot of fun. The reason being, I'm going to be on set rest of the weekend for upcoming miniseries. So you're gonna be
really
busy with that. And I wish I'll let you guys know more information about that once I get it. But Friday night at midnight Eastern Standard Time, the Stroh Zone returns at facebook.com/strollthemaestro. And Friday night's feature at midnight Eastern Standard Time will be the Ghost Train back in the day. So please tune in for that.
Oh, wow.
Sunday night, I'm going to be making my wrestling return to Extreme World Wrestling on their Wrestle Revolution event Sunday night. I was on their pay-per-view, and it'll be live on ExtremeTVOnline.com, which is, that's spelled X-T-R-E-M-E-TV, just like the abbreviations TV, online, all together, no space, ExtremeTVOnline.com, and I'll be making my wrestling return for Extreme World Wrestling Sunday night, and also be the debut of Hernandez, former Impact Wrestling star, there as well, so.
No, outstanding, yeah. Dude. You got to put that link on our little group chat thing, so that way, you know, we can get in on it, share it, and everything else. Man, it'd be good to see you and watch you knock the dust off. We ain't getting no younger. You know that, right?
Oh yeah, he did it first.
Whether we want to admit it or not, you know.
No doubt.
So, yeah, outstanding. And, Stro, it's always good to have you aboard. When's that wrestling show again, the one you were talking about today? I've been meaning to get on there, but, you know, with me, I'm just busier than a 10-pecker jackrabbit, and I can't. Sometimes I can't get on.
Oh, well. The one Sunday night?
Yeah.
The one I just mentioned? Oh, that's, this is Sunday night. April 24th. It starts at 7 p.m. and it's on ExtremeTVOnline.com. Yeah, you can watch it there.
Cool. Yeah, because that'd be awesome, dude. That would be good to go. But yeah, man, always good to have you aboard. Sure to appreciate you helping out with the subject matter tonight. Your input is always fantastic. Always good to have you aboard. And, I need to get on your wrestling show one night and run some smack with you one evening. I just don't get out much.
Yeah, it should be a good time. Yeah, always welcome. It's open to everyone. So, come one, come all. It's always a lot of fun.
Cool. Outstanding. Well, thanks again for joining us this evening. Now I'm going to kick it over to the wonderful Granny Hulkster. What kind of parting shot do you have this evening, young lady?
Well, I just hope that everybody has a great rest of the week and, you know, everybody be safe and just take care of each other and be good to each other. And, you know, I've got a wrestling show Saturday in Tulsa, Oklahoma that I'm going to be going to. And matter of fact, let's see, I've got one this weekend. I've got one next weekend. And I've got couple in May coming up that I'm going to be, you know, going to. So Granny's got a busy schedule ahead of her, but you know, it's always great to be able to be on with you guys. I mean, we always have a good time. We always have a lot of fun. And you know, I mean, I love each and every one of you guys. You know, you guys may rough me up, but that's okay. I mean, that's what family's about. And if you can't set and laugh about it and joke about it and have a good time about it, then there's something seriously wrong. So,
absolutely. And we'd be lost without you. You realize that. So, I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah.
You know, you
are... I'd be lost
without
you guys, too, so...
Much like you teasing your wrestlers, if we don't have Granny on here, we stumble. So it's great to have you aboard, as always. And
I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. Appreciate you joining us this evening. I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. Tell Anthony and David all the best from us here at Pop Culture Stars and everything. Hope they have a good week, too.
I will.
They're part of the crowd.
I will.
So, Timothy, talk to me. What have you got?
I would like to take this time to announce to everyone, from here on out, I would like my nickname to be 10-pecker. because I myself am as busy as a 10-pecker jackrabbit. I love that. I've never heard that before, and it's amazing. And I want to be called 10-pecker. I want to be called 10-pecker. Yeah. Unfortunately, my busyness is just a bunch of chores around the house. So that's really, I got yard work, I got a fence to keep building, all that good stuff, and work to throw in there. No, I had a great time tonight, and looking forward to it again next week. Sure we'll have a blast. It's getting warmer out. Gotta love it. So, 10-pecker out.
10-pecker. 10-pecker jackrabbit. We all know how jackrabbits get it on. Imagine have 10 units and still having to perform. That's how busy a 10-pecker jackrabbit would be. Or
there is a heaven.
You could be as busy as a cat trying to cover a turd on a frozen pond. That one is always pretty impactful. But nevertheless, Tim's at the house right now jotting these things down, a little notepad, so you can use them at work tomorrow.
Yes.
But, brother, yeah, it's always good to have you aboard. Much love going your way. Tell the crowd we all said hello. And, yeah, always good to have you. Appreciate your help, especially
great
when I have station break because my teeth were floating. Yeah, appreciate your fill-in for me. So,
yeah, I got to rip on Family Guy.
Shot, absolutely. One, two. I actually have.
Oh, no. I guess nobody ate the Oreos. I guess I have to bring them home to the cats.
I actually have some news, believe it or not. As I've stated before, I'm trying to reignite the flame and everything. I've got an art major that I've never done anything with, so I'm going to actually throw out there. I have gone live on Etsy with a store with Geek Home Decor, believe it or not. So it's called Geek Cave Creations. And in the event that you are a geek, Star Wars geek, Star Trek geek, Marvel geek, DC geek, Disney geek, doesn't matter, and you want to decorate your home, I have some things on Etsy. You want to take a look at them? Don't be afraid to shoot me an email or get a hold of me somehow or another if there's something in mind. And, yeah, if I get my hands on it, I'm painting it. I've actually found some reduced porcelain tile that's unfinished, and I painted a Batman and Joker face-to-face with like a silhouette of Arkham Asylum in the background. So it's just any odd stuff. I got switch plates on there that I've covered, you know, where your light switches and everything, so you can, put those up. And I've done some Hello Kitty stuff that's real popular and everything. And they're all purpose. So in other words, you know, when people start getting their handprints on it, you can wipe them off and you don't have to worry about the artwork getting messed up. But yeah, Geek Cave Creations on Etsy. You'll find my stuff there. And also May 20th, 21st, I will be sharing the Myrtle Beach Convention Center with my good brother Stro at XCon 11. And it was a little touch and go. Didn't look like I was going to make it with all the mayhem going on here at the house. But I submitted all my stuff before the show, and I will be there. So, by golly, if you are in the Myrtle Beach area, stop by XCon 11. I'm trying to get Brad and Jen on here before the show hits to talk it up about the XCon and everything, now that they've taken it over. They're fine folks. They're part of our con family. And really, really, really looking forward to them operating things because they're good people. They have a genuine interest in success of the business, and I think they're going to do a fantastic job. So I'm going to try to get them on there. But, yeah, XCon 11, Myrtle Beach, May 20th and 21st. Be there, boys and girls. So, as I take the last couple drags, you know, I'm actually seeing my breath out here tonight, man. And I'm not talking just little. It's like constant where you got like the smoke coming out, and it ain't my cigar. It is actual breath. It is chilly as shit out here this evening. And isn't there a law that after Easter you're not supposed to be doing this anymore? I mean, for God's sake.
I would think so.
I mean, Jesus. And one of y'all said it was snowing. Wasn't it you, Tim, that
yeah.
said it was snowing?
Yeah.
That's bullshit.
I think it was Monday morning. I walked out the front door, and I'll be damned if the yard, everything wasn't covered in snow. I was like, you've got to be effing kidding me. And the roads
yeah.
weren't bad because, you know, it wasn't – like, it was sticking. Luckily, it had been warm enough before that it wasn't freezing to the roads. But what made it a nightmare is it was almost like a whiteout condition. Like, when I tried to use your bright lights, you know, if you're on a rural road like I am, when you use your brights, it actually made it worse because it was reflecting off of the snow. It sucked, man.
Yep.
Yeah, that was Monday.
Yeah, we'll have to do a show, and I'll have to tell you all the story about when I moved here to Jacksonville from Paris Island, and it snowed on my birthday because I was having a tough time transitioning to my new school. Because I went from a military school where everything was pristine and clean and white and, you know, nobody peed on the toilet seat, to a school that was built in the late 1800s, wood floors, radiators, box unit, air conditioning, that kind of stuff. And I was having a hell of a time transitioning because I was a 12-year-old kid. And it snowed on my birthday. And my birthday's in May. And it totally, I'll have to, the story's hilarious now. It wasn't funny when it happened, but I'll have to share that story with y'all sometime. But nevertheless, I am going to, I really don't want to put the cigar out because it's a La Gloria Cubana, which for the cigar smoking listeners out there, try these things out. I've been smoking these things for years. They are fantastic. And this one right here is so good that I feel kind of like Kate Winslet on that piece of wood and not willing to slide over and let Leonardo up and just don't want to let go. But damn if this wasn't a good cigar, but it's too damn cold to keep dragging on it. So I go into Atwell Manor and I will cue in the old salty British lady. Put an end to this broadcast. People, I love you. Appreciate you joining me this evening. And through the janky sliding door at Atwell Manor and to the laptop. And I get to do laundry after the show. That's good stuff, man. Now that I got a new washing machine, laundry's a blast. Nevertheless, we thank everybody for joining us this evening on Pop Culture Stars. We will see you again next week. Appreciate everybody joining us. Y'all take care.
All right, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Be safe.
And
big hugs.
Yeah, there you go. Big hugs, gang. Todd, we miss you, brother. Talk to y'all soon.
Heck yeah.
British lady.
Oh, no. Where's the British lady?
There she is. Okay.
Woman.
Goodbye.
Uh-oh. Oh, I see. My internet's down.
Oh, no.
Jeez Louise, as
right,
if that'd
I'll
be something.
Start a pot of coffee.
Sitting right here, damn, I swear, Spectrum Internet. Oh, my God, y'all suck. Yeah, I said it. Y'all suck. I mean, this is sad. And this is like, I don't know how many times my internet's hiccup tonight. I'm just glad I didn't drop the show. Come on. I don't know how anybody in Oslo County, you know, we were going through COVID and all the kids had to do the school stuff online. I don't know how they did it with Spectrum Internet. They're horrible. I mean, think about the worst possible thing in your life, and it's worse than that. Come on.